This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala abdihi wa rasulihi nabina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in amma ba'd ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. I welcome every single one of you to this halaqa bi'iznillahi ta'ala. Hayyakum Allah. Does anyone know what we are here gathered to discuss? What's the topic of discussion? Anyone? Dr. Shakil, do you know what we're talking about? No. Subhanallah. Allahu musta'an. Anybody knows what we're talking about? Muhammad, you? No idea. Allahu musta'an. Allahu musta'an. There was an individual called Mullah Nasruddin. Jayid. Mullah Nasruddin. And so he's invited to one of these towns, maybe it was Calgary, Allahu A'lam. He was invited to give a talk. And so he's traveled a long distance, etc. And he's come there, right? Took him 3-4 hours to get there. And so they said, Mullah, you know what, you're in town, you have to give us a talk, etc. And so he comes to the masjid and he sits there and he asks them, do you people know why I'm here? Do you people know what we're going to talk about? Do you people know what's the topic of discussion? And so they all looked at him. And they said, no, we don't know. And so he said, Subhanallah, I traveled all of this distance. I went how many kilometers, etc. and come here, all of this trouble, and you people don't even know what I'm here to talk about. What's the point me even talking? Jazakallah khair, salamu alaikum. And he left. Allahu musta'an. Another time, Mullah Nasruddin was passing by and they invite him a second time. And they said that this time if he asks us, you know, what am I here to talk about? Well, you know, this is what we say, etc., etc. And so he comes this long distance, he sits in front of them, he says, Assalamu alaikum, amma ba'd, etc. Do you people know why I'm here? Do you people know what I'm here to talk about? Do you people know what's the topic of discussion, etc.? And they all said, yes, we all know what exactly you're here to talk about, etc., etc. So he says, Subhanallah, I traveled all of this distance, I came to you people, and you already know what I'm here to talk about. What's the point me even talking? Jazakallah khair, assalamu alaikum. And he left. Few months later, Mullah Nasruddin passing by again, and they invite him. And they say, this time, if Mullah asks us, what is he here to talk about? Half of you say, yes, you know what he's here to talk about. And half of you say, no, you don't know what he's here to talk about. And so they invite Mullah Nasruddin for the third time. He sits in front of them, amma ba'd, etc., Jayid, and he asks them, do you people know why I'm here? Do you people know what I'm here to talk about, etc.? So half of them said, yes, we know what you're here to talk about. And half of them said, no, we don't know what you're here to talk about. So Mullah Nasruddin says, Subhanallah, I traveled all of this distance to come in here and talk to you people, etc. The half that knows what I'm here to talk about, you inform the half who doesn't know what I'm here to talk about. And he says, Jazakallah khair, salamu alaikum. And he left. Allahu musta'an. So ya mashayikh, what are we here to talk about? Yes, mashayikh, what are we here to talk about? Hi, doctor? What God wills us to talk about. Hayyakum Allah. Fadal ya, doctor. Hayyakum Allah. Fadal ya, doctor. Signs of the Day of Judgment. No, that's at the other masjid. You wrong masjid, Sheikh. Naam, hayyakum Allah. Bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, yesterday and the halaqa before yesterday, we went through many of the companions of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We could call it best of the best. And we did the A to Z of the best of the best. We spoke about A was for Abu Bakr. A was for Abdullah ibn al-Zubair. A was for Amr ibn al-As. A was for what else? A was for Anas ibn Malik. We spoke about B for Bilal. We spoke about Al for Luhayya. We spoke about M for Mimuna radiallahu ta'ala anha. Until eventually we ended off with Z for Zayd radiallahu ta'ala an. Zayd ibn Thabit. Also Zayd, the servant, the slave of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who was set free. Zayd ibn Sahl, etc. We spoke about many of the companions, subhanallah. Allah gave us that ability, gave us the opportunity. We probably went through about 50 biographies of the companions radiallahu ta'ala anhum. جيد والحمد لله. بإذن الله تعالى, in this short halaqa, we might do the opposite topic, and that is worst of the worst. Who are the worst of the worst? We know, yes, Dajjal, we know Iblis, Shaitan, etc. In fact, we spoke about one companion yesterday, and we said that when he was born, what was his name? His name was Shaitan. Eventually, when he embraced Islam, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had his name changed to something else. Walhamdulillah. Jayyid, we'll talk about certain individuals who lived during the time of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they were enemies to al-Islam. They never embraced Islam. They were given the, lack of better words, the glad tidings of the hellfire. Allah states in the Noble Quran, فَبَشِّرْهُمْ بِعَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ, and give them the news, give them the glad tidings of what? Of a punishment which is severe. Who are some of those individuals? You tell me. Some of the individuals who were there with the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they never embraced Islam. They died upon kufr. And these were people, when they walked the earth, it was as if they had a signed document that you are one of the inhabitants of the hellfire. As opposed to the 10 who were granted paradise and others, as they walked the face of this earth, they knew they had the guarantee of paradise. So who are some of these wretched individuals? Fadal. Doctor? Fir'aun. Excellent. So which Fir'aun was living there during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Abu Jahl, yes, Jayid, you're lucky you got away. Now, Jayid, Fir'aun hadihi al-umma was Abu Jahl. As for the Fir'aun of Musa alayhi salam, that was long before the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Jayid, who are some of these wretched individuals? So Abu Jahl, who else? Abu Lahab, excellent. Side story, Abu Lahab, subhanallah. The story of Abu Lahab is a miracle in the Quran. Who can tell me why and how? Anyone? Story of Abu Lahab is a miracle in the Quran. Why and how?
Surah Lahab is revealed 10 years before he died.
Excellent. Jayid. What's your name, Doctor?
Faisal,
excellent. So the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam gets this revelation that tabbat yada abi lahabi wa tab, etc. And this person will be in the hellfire. If he wanted to prove that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a false prophet, he could have easily said, oh, you know what, Muhammad, you say that if someone becomes a Muslim, they're going to go to paradise? Yes. Okay, you know what? I become a Muslim, but your book, your Quran has said that I'm going to go to the hellfire, but I become a Muslim. He could have just put on a show, but he never crossed his mind, subhanAllah. Jayid, did you all get that? Excellent. Shakil, give me some water, please. Jayid, who are some of the other wretched individuals? So we had Abu Jahl, we had Abu Lahab. Anyone else? Jayid, what was his name?
Walid bin something.
Jayid, okay. Anyone else?
Mughira.
Jayid. Other criminals? Utba ibn Rabi'a. Excellent. Other criminals? Umayya ibn Khalaf. Who said that? Jayid, Mumtaz. Who else? We got five so far. We can have more. Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul, head of the Munafiqeen. Excellent. We got six, mashallah. Let's see if we can get 10. Ka'b ibn Ashraf. Excellent. Mumtaz. We got 7. 3 more. Abu Lahab's wife, Jamil. Mashallah. 2 more. Subhanallah. We have that. Someone said Utba ibn Rabi'ah. Shayba ibn Rabi'ah. Excellent. And Musaylima al-Kazab. Excellent, mashallah. We passed 10. Anyone else? Any other names? Heraclius, mafi. Too far away. Jayid, mashallah. Let's see. The one who threw the intestines on the back of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the filth, etc. What was his name? The guy who threw all of that filth on the back of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What was his name?
The guy?
No, there was a guy. Uqba ibn Abi Mu'it. Jayid. So from amongst these criminals, we have Abu Jahl, you mentioned, Utba ibn Rabi'a, Umayya ibn Khalaf, As ibn Wa'il, we had Al-Walid ibn Mughira, Uqba ibn Abi Mu'it, Sufyan ibn Khalid, Ka'b ibn Ashraf, Abu Lahab. We also had Ubay ibn Khalaf, Musaylima al-Kadhab, Jayid, Amir ibn al-Tufail, Jamil, the wife of Abu Lahab, Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul, Nadr ibn al-Harith, who was executed after the Battle of Badr, Huyay ibn Akhtab, excellent, mashallah. We'll deal with only about five of these individuals' biographies, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Jayid. Number one, the head of these criminals was who? Abu Jahl Amr ibn Hisham. Abu Jahl, his kunya was what? He was called amongst the people what? Abu al-Hakam, father of wisdom, father of hikmah, subhanallah. But because his hikmah and wisdom never brought him to al-Islam, what did the Muslims call him? Abu Jahl, father of ignorance, subhanallah. His name was Amr ibn Hisham. So Abu Jahl was his kunya. Amr ibn Hisham. Amr was his name. Ibn Hisham. Hisham was his father. And something about his father. His father was a famous individual in Mecca al-Mukarramah. One of the leaders of the people there in Mecca al-Mukarramah. And you know, like when we had the year of the elephant, people remembered that year and they would record dates based upon that year. They would say someone was born 2 years before the year of the elephant. Someone was born, someone died 3 years after the year of the elephant. You remember that? They used the year of the elephant as the yardstick. Well, when the father of Abu Jahl passed away, the man by the name of Hisham, when he passed away, people remembered dates based upon his death. He was a very, very famous individual, so they would call it. So-and-so died 2 years after the death of 2 years after the death of Hisham. 3 years after the death of Hisham, such and such happened. Such a famous individual he was. He was a person who was very, very rich, and he would help the people a lot. He would feed the people of Mecca al-Mukarramah. Jayid. As for Abu Jahl, in the days when he was called Abu al-Hakam, father of wisdom, he was part and parcel of Dar al-Nadwa. What was Dar al-Nadwa in Mecca al-Mukarramah? Dar al-Nadwa. You remember, before the Prophet ﷺ migrated to Medina al-Munawwara, the mushrikeen got together in Mecca al-Mukarramah and they met at Dar al-Nadwa and they decided to assassinate him. You remember that? The place where they gathered, the gathering, etc. was called Dar al-Nadwa. What was Dar al-Nadwa? Lack of better words, like the small-time parliament. Jayid. So all the leaders would get together there and they would discuss, deliberate, etc. What decision do we take? What do we do? So Abu Jahl, although he was young in those days, he was part and parcel of Dar al-Nadwa, of all the elders, the circle of elders, the group of elders. Why? Because he was such a person of wisdom. Because he was such a bright individual, he was Abu al-Hakam. That's why Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would lift up his hands and make dua. Either Amr bin Hisham, he embraces Islam, or Umar ibn al-Khattab. One of these two individuals, or maybe both of them, whoever is more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, should become a Muslim. Because this man was intelligent. This man was brilliant. This man had power. He had authority. And so it would have benefited Islam if he became a Muslim. But was Hidayah written for him? No, Hidayah was not written for him. Allahu musta'an. His brother, by the name of Al-Hadith ibn Hisham, yes, he was with the mushriks at Badr. He was with the mushriks at Uhud. But later on, after the conquest of Mecca, he became a Muslim. As for Abu Jahl, from day one until his last day, I will discuss, he was killed where? He was killed at Badr. He never ever embraced Al-Islam. Jayid. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for example, one time he was at the mountain of Safa and he was seated there, and Abu Jahl passes there and he starts to make a mockery of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, istihza, sukhriya of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One of the females, she overheard this and she went to Hamza. Look at this. Abu Jahl was the reason for Hamza becoming a Muslim. Abu Jahl's ridiculing the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the reason for Hamza to become a Muslim. So this female comes to Hamza and says, Hamza, you know what, you went out hunting, etc. You know what happened in the interim? Your nephew and your foster brother, Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Hamza, they were both breastfed by the same female. Although Hamza was the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was also the foster brother of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this female says, you know what, when you were gone, this is what Abu Jahl was doing to your nephew. This is what he was saying to Muhammad. He was ridiculing him and mocking him, etc. So Hamza radiallahu ta'ala, and he comes there, he takes his bow and arrow and he goes to Abu Jahl. And he lets Abu Jahl have it, and he says to him that you are slandering him and you saying this and that about Muhammad, about my nephew. Verily I say the same as him, and verily I am upon the same religion as him. Question, was Hamza a Muslim at the time? No, he wasn't a Muslim at the time. But this tribal alliance, etc., like, you pushed me. It's as if Abu Jahl, Hamza radiallahu ta'ala, to become a Muslim. That this is my nephew here. You don't say anything about him. And you're saying something? Well, you know what? I'm on his religion too. You know what? I'm also upon what he says. And then Hamza radiallahu ta'ala became a Muslim. And then eventually his chest was opened up to the religion of Al-Islam. Alhamdulillah. As we said, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would make dua that either Abu Jahl or Umar ibn al-Khattab become Muslim. And this Abu Jahl, he was an individual who was severe upon the Muslims. He would oppress the Muslims left, right and center. For example, ya mashaykh, the first shahida in al-Islam, Sumayya, she was martyred by who? She was killed by who? This individual, Abu Jahl, is the one who took that dagger, took that spear, and he killed her with it. Allahu musta'an. Shayid. So we're not talking about any Sulaiman, Ahmed, or Iqbal, any Tom, Dick, or Harry, but rather we're talking about Abu Jahl. This person was a diehard enemy against Al-Islam. Also another female, Zinnira, he's beating this female left, right and center, asking her to leave the fold of Al-Islam. Eventually what happens, subhanAllah, after some time she loses her sight. And so he says to her, well, you know what happened? Lat and Uzza, they've taken away your sight. Because you've disbelieved in Lat and Uzza, these idols, etc., they've snatched away your sight. And so she said, absolutely not, Lat and Uzza can't do anything. Rather, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who took my sight away. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who has the ability to restore my sight. Eventually, walhamdulillah, her sight was restored. And when it was restored, what did Abu Jahl say? He said, well, this is part of the sihr of Muhammad. This is part of the black magic and the sorcery of Muhammad. Abu Bakr comes along, he purchases Zinnira and he sets her free, walhamdulillah, as Abu Bakr did for many others. Another time, Abu Jahl making istihza of the Noble Qur'an. Allah states in the Noble Qur'an, عَلَيْهَا تِسْعَةَ عَشَرْ, that these individuals who will be punished, etc., these تِسْعَةَ عَشَرْ, 19 angels will grab them, etc., and punish them. So what does he say to his cronies? He says to them, oh, you heard what Muhammad says in his Qur'an, in his book, etc. You people will be punished by 19 of these angels, etc. Come, 100 of us, we can get together and we can overpower those 19 angels. What's 19 angels? Allahu musta'an. Another time also making istihza about az-zaqum, that tree in the tree in hell. So he says, what is this zaqum? This is a tree in Medina al-Munawwara, and it's like this and it's like that, etc. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends down the revelation. Inna shajarat az-zaqum ta'amul athim kal-muhli yaghli fil butun kaghalyi al-hamim, until eventually dhuq, Jaid, you taste it and you will taste it. Who? Abu Jahl. So he was making a mockery of the tree az-zaqum. He was making a mockery of those angels who would punish. And eventually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends down the revelation that he will be one who will eat of that tree. His brother, Abu Jahl's maternal brother, by the name of Ayash. We spoke about his full brother, Al-Harith. He became Muslim eventually after the conquest of Makkah. As for Abu Jahl's maternal brother, his name was Ayash. Umar radiallahu ta'ala and this Ayash, they decide to leave Makkah al-Mukarrama and migrate to Medina al-Munawwara. So they're on their journey, etc. They're on their way. In fact, they were almost in Medina al-Munawwara. Once it was heard that Umar and Ayash have left, Abu Jahl said, absolutely not. My brother, he's not going to go anywhere. I'm going to bring him back. So himself and his brother, Al-Harith, who was still not a Muslim at that time. They go after their other brother who is the Muslim, Ayash, who is with Umar. Eventually they catch up with them. Where? At Medina al-Munawwara, just at the entrance of Medina al-Munawwara. Imagine, look at the, you know, the perseverance of Abu Jahl. That no matter what, he went all the way. I will bring that brother of mine back. That Ayash brother of mine, who told him to become a Muslim? Maternal brother, who told him to become a Muslim? I'll bring him back. And so they go to Medina al-Munawwara. They meet up with Umar and they meet up with Ayash. And they say to Ayash, you know what, we've come here all this way, subhanallah. You know what has happened? Our mother, she's taken a vow that she's not going to stand in the shade. She's only going to stand in the sun. She's not going to comb her hair, etc. You need to come back until you come back. If you come back, I mean, you just meet her, etc. Sort out all of these things. She doesn't have to break her vow, and then you can go back. I mean, we're not interested in you. You can come here to Medina. We don't give a damn about the matter. And so, subhanAllah, Umar said to him, no, don't go. They're trying to trick you. Don't go. And he says, no, my mother, I need to go back. And so Umar says to him, you know, I got money. I got this. I'll give you, etc. He says, no, my mother. Until eventually Umar says, okay, you take my camel. My camel is a very, very fast camel. If you sense from them that they're trying to trick you, etc., you can just dart away very, very quickly. So Ayash goes along, he takes the camel and he's going back with his two brothers, his two maternal brothers by the name of Abu Jahl and Al-Harith. Eventually when they had the opportunity to pounce on him, they pounced on him and they dragged him back to Makkah Al-Mukarramah, and so he fell into this fitna. And it was a sign of your iman during those early days that you migrated for the sake of Allah. If you had the ability, you had to migrate. You didn't have the option of remaining in Makkah Al-Mukarramah. So this Ayash fell into this fitna. Now he's back in Makkah Al-Mukarramah. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would actually lift up his hands and he would make dua. Allahumma anji Ayash ibn Abi Rabi'a. Oh Allah, protect. Oh Allah, save this Ayash. Until eventually, when the verses came down, لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِن رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. Do not lose hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at Umar. He never forgot his friend Ayash. He wrote down these verses and he sent it to Makkah al-Mukarramah to Ayash. Ayash read it. Ayash realized, you know what, there's hope for me. Yes, it's a sign of iman that I should have migrated, but I have the opportunity now. And then he migrated to Medina al-Munawwara. Walhamdulillah. Eventually, when everyone was given permission to migrate to Medina al-Munawwara, what did the mushrikeen do? They got together again at Dar al-Nadwa. And who is the criminal who came up with the idea of assassinating the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? None other than Abu Jahl. They asked him, what do you say, O Abu al-Hakam? He says, I have an idea. From each tribe, we have a youngster. He gets this nice strong guy. From each tribe, this one person steps forward and they all together go and assassinate, kill Muhammad. So that the tribe of Muhammad wouldn't be able to hold us accountable. They wouldn't be able to fight with this tribe or that tribe. We'll say all the tribes got together and we are all the killers of Muhammad. And so this was the idea that they came up with. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as Allah states, وَمَكَرُوا وَمَكَرَ اللَّهُ وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الْمَاكِرِينَ إِذْ يَمْكُرُ بِكَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لِيُثْبِتُوكَ أَوْ يَقْتُلُوكَ أَوْ يُخْرِجُوكَ وَيَمْكُرُونَ وَيَمْكُرُ اللَّهُ وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الْمَاكِرِينَ. They plot and plan, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the best of plotters and planners. What happened? Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was informed by Jibreel and he migrated with Abu Bakr to Medina al-Munawwara. When Abu Jahl found out that Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not in the house, Ali was there, where did he go? He went to the house of Abu Bakr, and he is the one who then slapped Asma radiallahu ta'ala anha across her face. Take note, Asma was not a small girl at that time. Asma was pregnant, Jayid. Asma was pregnant at that time, because later on when Asma migrated soon after, she gave birth to Abdullah ibn Az-Zubair. And Abdullah ibn Az-Zubair was the first of the children of the Muhajireen born in Medina al-Munawwara. So subhanAllah, where is all of that, this amongst the Arabs, they had this respect, etc., for females. You wouldn't do things like this, Allahumusta'an. But here was this female, she opened up the door. He asked her, where's your father? She says, I don't know where has he gone to. And he slapped her across her face. And she was pregnant at the time. Allahu musta'an. Then later on, ya mashayikh, we move on to the Battle of Badr. And that's where he was killed. At the Battle of Badr, we know that Abu Sufyan, the caravan, etc., was eventually saved. Right? And then Abu Sufyan says, you know what? The caravan saved. We don't need to do anything. We go back to Mecca. But Abu Jahl, he says, no. This is an opportunity for us. We're not going to go. We're going to go and we're going to finish Muhammad at this time here. We're going to put an end to the matter at this time here. And so what did he do? He says that we will go. We will camp there for 3 days. And we will take our woman along with us. We will take alcohol. We will drink. We'll have fun. We'll have a party. We'll eat, etc. We'll finish off Muhammad. And then we will come back. But subhanallah, وَمَكَرُوا وَمَكَرَ اللَّهُ وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الْمَاكِرِينَ. He also slaughtered 10 camels, Abu Jahl. He took along 10 camels for the whole army, etc. He says, you know, this is merrymaking time. This is time of goodness. Eventually, during the battle, as you all know, ya mashayikh, two from amongst the youngsters, Mu'adh and Mu'awwidh, Jayid, the two sons of this female by the name of Afra, they were the ones who asked, who is Abu Jahl? Who is Abu Jahl? Where is Abu Jahl? Amr ibn Hisham. Eventually they were shown and they pounced on him and they injured him severely. But did he die? No, he did not die. Who eventually came across him? Who eventually pounced upon him? Who eventually met up with him and then finished him off? It was Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala an. So Abdullah ibn Mas'ud finds him, and then Abdullah ibn Mas'ud finished him off. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that this person here, that hada fir'aun hadihi al-ummah, this is the fir'aun of this ummah. Also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down revelation with regards to Abu Jahl when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was praying, and then he wanted to prevent the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from praying at the Kaaba. He says, oh Muhammad, did I not tell you you're not allowed to pray here? Did I not tell you you can't pray here? What surah came down? In surah Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi, towards the end. Ara'ayta alladhi yanha 'abdan idha salla. Have you not seen the one who prevents our slave? Abdan idha salla, our slave when he is praying. Ara'ayta alladhi yanha 'abdan idha salla. Ara'ayta in kana 'ala al-huda aw amara bit-taqwa ila akhirih, until the end of that surah. So here was an individual who was guaranteed the hellfire, and so that's where he met his end. Allahu musta'an. So that was, ya mashayikh, a quick biography of the Iblis, of the Shaytan, by the name of Abu Jahl. And as he was father of ignorance, his name was father of ignorance, and he continued to be upon ignorance. Hayyakum Allah. We have another individual by the name of Umayyah ibn Khalaf ibn Wahab al-Jumahi al-Qurashi. Anything you know about him? Umayyah ibn Khalaf. Umayyah ibn Khalaf. Anyone knows anything about him? Mafi?
He's the founder father of Banu Umayyah.
No. Not the founder of Banu Umayyah. Jayid, Banu Umayyah was much higher than that. Jayid, his name was Umayyah, but he was not Banu Umayyah. Jayid? He was the torturer of Bilal radiallahu ta'ala. Excellent, ya doctor. Jayid. So his kunya was Abu Ali. His name was Umayyah. And yes, he was the one who tortured Bilal radiallahu ta'ala. And we'll see towards the end, how did he die? Did Bilal have a hand in his death? We'll discuss inshaAllah. Jayid. So this individual, he's torturing Bilal radiallahu ta'ala. Bilal is his slave. Bilal works for him. And so, I mean, this is like unbelievable. How can Bilal choose a religion? I tell you what to do. I am your master. How can you even think on your own? You don't have the authority to do any of that. It was a sign of like, you know, tahrir. It was a sign of like hurriya, that I am free, that Bilal could think on his own and decide on his own. But Umayyah didn't want to have any of that. He would take Bilal, as you all know, out in the boiling sun, put him down, remove all of his clothes and put this heavy rock on his chest and order him to renegade upon the religion of Al-Islam. What would Bilal say? Ahad, 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 that Allah is only one. And Bilal would say, if I knew any words which would irritate Umayyah more than Ahad, Ahad, I would have mentioned those words. But Ahad, Ahad was doing a good job at the time. Allahumma sta'an. Jayyid. This individual, also would make mockery of the Messenger sallallahu. Eventually what happened? Eventually Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala was passing by, and Abu Bakr says, why are you doing this to this man, etc. So Umayyah said, well, you people have done this to him, not me. You people put him in this position. So two versions. One version is that Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala and purchased Bilal, and then Umayyah said, you know what, you gave me so much of money for Bilal, if you gave me much less than this, I would have sold him to you. Abu Bakr said, if you asked me for more, I would have given more. Subhanallah. Jayid. The other version is that Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala says to him, I have a certain slave servant who is much stronger than Bilal, so we'll make an exchange. And so the exchange was done. And then that's why Umar radiallahu ta'ala would say that Bilal is our Sayyid, and he was set free by our Sayyid, meaning Abu Bakr. Bilal is our leader, and he was set free by our other leader, and that is Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala an. Jayyid. Another time, this Umayyah, making mockery of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, himself, Walid ibn Mughira, Abu Jahl, Umayyah, all together, making istihza, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends down the revelation. وَلَقَدْ إِسْتُهْزِئَ بِرُسُلٍ مِّن قَبْلِكَ فَحَاقَ بِالَّذِينَ سَخِرُ مِنْهُمْ مَا كَانُوا بِهِ يَسْتَهْزِئُونَ. People like this, they used to make mockery of the prophets even before you, O Muhammad. In reality, they are the ones deserving of such statements. He would also say to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that, O Muhammad, let's come up with a plan. You know what? We'll worship your Lord and you worship our Lord, and then at least we'll have turns, etc. And so we happy, you happy, and everybody's happy. He was the one. Umayyah came up with that idea. What did Allah send down as revelation? قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ لَا أَعْبُدُ مَا تَعْبُدُونَ وَلَا أَنْتُمْ عَابِدُونَ مَا أَعْبُدْ إِلَىٰ آخِرِهِ until the end of that surah. That, oh, you disbeliever, you worship whatever you worship, I worship whatever I worship, and we will not worship what you worship. Allahumma sta'an. He was also there seated when that criminal, who we'll discuss later on, Uqba ibn Abi Mu'id, when he brought all of that filth and put on the back of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Umayyah was seated there. They in the gathering, and one of them said, let's go and get this filth and put on his back. Okay, who will go and do it? And so Uqba said, I will go. And then they all agreed with that. Umayyah was seated there, and then Umayyah and the other cronies, Abu Jahl, they were falling over one another laughing when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had all of that filth on his back. Umayyah was there. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after his salah, his hands, and he made dua against all of those individuals, and we will see what happened to Umayyah. Sa'd ibn Mu'adh, as per Sahih al-Bukhari, when he embraced Islam, he was now in Medina al-Munawwara, and he had been a friend of this Umayyah. So when he came to Mecca, you know, he was talking to Umayyah, etc., etc., and then Abu Jahl came along. Abu Jahl said, Umayyah, what are you talking to this Sa'd ibn Mu'adh for? I mean, he's your friend, but now he's become Muslim. He's gone to Medina al-Munawwara. You don't talk to him, etc. So Abu Jahl was trying to incite hatred between both of them. Eventually, he was like almost successful. And then Sa'd ibn Mu'adh said, you know what? I don't want anything to do with both of you. And even you, Umayyah, I heard that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying that you will be killed. So after this, Umayyah was very, very perturbed. Every time after this, he would be worried. He went home and he said to his wife, you know what? You know, this guy told me that, you know, I'd be killed. Muhammad said I'd be killed. They knew Muhammad was Al-Amin. They knew he was the truthful one. So that's why they were worried now. So his wife says, in Mecca or where? Because Muhammad's far away. He's in Medina al-Munawwara. You living in Mecca. Who's going to kill you here in Mecca? He says, no, you're all safe here. Nothing to worry about. Eventually, at Badr, when Abu Jahl and those cronies, they said, no, we're going to go out. Even if the caravan's saved, we're going to go and finish off the Muslims. So this Umayyah, he was a bit reluctant. Why? Because he knew, now I'm leaving Mecca, this is a bit dangerous. Maybe I'd be killed. That's what Muhammad said about me. And so Abu Jahl came to Umayyah and he says, what is this, Umayyah? We're going out now, we're leaving now, we're going to sort out everything with the Muslims. We're going to put an end to Al-Islam. What do you mean you're reluctant? What are you staying here? No, you come along with us. So are you frightened? Are you a woman? That's what they said to him. Himself and Uqba ibn Abi Mu'id, the one who put the filth on the back of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they came to Umayyah and they said, you know what, here's some perfume, here's this, here that, because you from amongst the women, that's why you're staying back. And so that they made him angry, and he says, well, I'm coming too. And he set out, Allahu musta'an. So this Umayyah then set out, and he was captured. Himself and his son Ali were captured in the battle of Badr. Abdurrahman ibn Auf captured them and had them there as his prisoners. As he was coming with them, Bilal radiallahu ta'ala, he saw Umayyah, his former master. And he says, here's Umayyah. And he says, oh Ansar, here's Umayyah. And you know, there's nothing stopping us. We're at war. We're on the battlefield here. Nothing stopping us. We got no treaty, no nothing between us and them. And the Ansar and whoever, they just pounce left, right and center. Until about how many of them? More than 1, 2, 10, whatever, a whole crowd. They all pounced on Umayyah and they pounced on his son. Abdurrahman ibn Auf even tried to like defend them because he already caught them as prisoners, Jayid. And so he was like hurt on his foot, and he couldn't stop them at all. And Bilal radiallahu ta'ala and the others from amongst the Ansar, they put an end to Umayyah and his son. And Umayyah was an individual who was rather large in size. After the Battle of Badr, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had many of these major criminals, Abu Jahl and all of these criminals, taken. Their bodies were taken and put into this well. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, gave an address and he asked. He says that Hal wajadtum ma wa'ada rabbukum haqqa, O you people, O Abu Jahl, etc. Have you found the promise of Allah to be true? As for Umayyah, he was not in that well because he was rather large in size. He couldn't fit there, and so they had his body lay somewhere else, and they threw some sand over it. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, have you people found the promise of Allah to be true? For verily I have found the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be true. Umar says, ya Rasulullah, you're speaking to dead bodies? Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that at this moment here, they can hear. Like a miracle from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah gave them the ability as like extra punishment upon them, so that they realized that yes, the promise of Muhammad became true with regards to their punishment, and also what Allah promised the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam was true. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam screamed out, he gave the address, O Utba ibn Rabi'ah, O Shayba ibn Rabi'ah, O Umayyah ibn Khalaf, O Abu Jahl, have you all found the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be true? With regards to him being a person who was guaranteed the hellfire, then the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after he migrated to Medina al-Munawwara, we know many of the Sahaba, they fell ill, they were not really accustomed to that weather, etc. Also outside Medina al-Munawwara, there were some swampy areas. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made dua, Allahumma la'an Shayba ibn Rabi'a, Allah curse Shayba ibn Rabi'a, wa Umayyah ibn Khalaf, and this individual, Umayyah ibn Khalaf, torturer of Bilal, curse him too, because of them expelling us, because of them forcing us out of Makkah al-Mukarramah, where we were nice and happy and healthy. Also, with regards to the verse of the Quran, the surah, وَيْلٌ لِكُلِّ هُمَزَةِ اللُّمَزَ وَيْلٌ لِكُلِّ هُمَزَةِ اللُّمَزَ. Many a mufassir said that this person here, who is woe to the person who is وَيْلٌ لِكُلِّ هُمَزَ and لُمَزَ. هُمَزَ is the one who curses, the one who slanders, the one who backbites, the one who says bad things to you, to your face. And لُمَزَ is the person who picks on your lineage, picks on your family, etc. And is a person who curses and talks bad about you from behind your back. Many mufassir said that this verse here applies to Umayyah ibn Khalaf, Allahul Musta'an. Hayyakum Allah ya Mashaykh. So we dealt with the biography of Abu Jahl. We spoke about the biography of Umayyah ibn Khalaf. Bi-ithnillahi ta'ala, we have just about two more biographies. And the third being Utba ibn Rabi'ah. Jayid. Utba ibn Rabi'ah, you already heard names. Utba ibn Rabi'ah was killed in the Battle of Badr. And his brother was with him by the name of Shayba ibn Rabi'ah, also killed there. What do we know about Utba ibn Rabi'ah ibn Abd Shams, ibn Abd Manaf, ibn Qusay? This individual, his son was Abu Hudayfa, became a Muslim. His daughter was Hind bint Utba. She also became a Muslim. And this person, Utba, one of the leaders of the individuals of Mecca. You remember when the Mushrikeen were rebuilding the Kaaba? You remember? And they said, now who's going to put the black stone? Oh, look, the next person who comes up the hill there, he's the one who will decide. The next one who enters the haram will decide. Who entered? Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, al-Amin. So they all agreed upon that. What was the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's age at that time? 35. He was 35 years old at that time. It was 5 years before prophethood. Who was born in the year 35 AH?
Fatima
radiallahu ta'ala anha. Excellent, ya doktor. Jayyid. And so, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is at the age of 35. And so he says to them, okay, put the black stone here. And then each of the tribal leaders, each one of you hold one end of this like material or whatever it was. And then I will be the one who will place it in its place. What this, one of the sides was held by this individual here, Utbah ibn Rabi'ah. He was a high ranking individual from amongst the Quraysh in Makkah al-Mukarramah. He held up the side of Abd Manaf. Jayyid. Also something about him, he thought that he would be a prophet. Because he had some good qualities, etc., this Utbah ibn Rabi'ah. And so some people who were accustomed to the scriptures of the previous prophets, some of them thought that maybe this Utbah, you know, he might be a prophet. And that's why when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam got revelation, this was extra hasad on his side against the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Once Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, he went to the haram, and he gave an address, and he says to the people, here is Muhammad, and he's calling you to such and such, and he's calling you to worship Allah, etc. The people pounced on Abu Bakr left, right and center and began beating him. And this Utbah here took his shoe and he beat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala on his face with that shoe of his. Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, he was unconscious. His tribal individuals came and they took him away. And they said that if anything happens to him, they're going to take revenge against this Utbah. Because he is the one who beat up Abu Bakr the most. Walhamdulillah, after some time, Abu Bakr came around. And then the first thing he asked his mother is what? How is Muhammad? How is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? His mother was not a Muslim at the time. She said, I don't know. He says to her, okay, go out and ask Jamil. Who's Jamil? Jamil? Why ask the wife of Abu Lahab? Don't ask the wife of Abu Lahab. Jamil Fatima bint al-Khattab. The sister of? Umar, Jayid. Jamil, the sister of Umar radiallahu ta'ala. And go and ask her, Jayid. And so, Abu Bakr's mother goes along to this Jamil and asks her, you know what, my son is asking, how's Muhammad? So she says, I don't know who Muhammad is, I don't know who your son is. But if you want me to meet your son and see what's going on, you know, I'll come along. She was hiding her Islam, Jayid. You remember, Umar went into his sister's house and he beat up his sister and he beat up his son-in-law by the name of Sa'id ibn Zayd. Excellent. So here, Jamil, she comes, she meets up with Abu Bakr and she says, don't worry, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is fine. He says, I'm not going to eat anything, I'm not going to do anything. I want to go and meet the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so these two women, they help him. He meets up with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asks him, how's he doing, etc. He says, he's fine. Except that, you know how this Utbah beat him on his face, that day is paining a lot. Jayid, that really that pain injured him severely. And then he says, ya Rasulullah, look at my mother. My mother is very good to her children, etc. You make dua that Allah guides her. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made dua for the mother of Abu Bakr, and she later embraced Islam. Walhamdulillah. Jayid. Back to Utbah. We said he was an individual who was intelligent, etc. He comes to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam once. He says, oh Muhammad, I mean, look at what you're doing. You're breaking up the tribes. You're causing problems. You're doing this. You're doing that. We'll give you this. We'll give you that. Long story he gave to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sat there attentively, listened to the whole thing. When he finished, he asked him, did you finish, O Utbah? Utbah says, yes, I finished. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam recited the verses. حميم تنزيل من الرحمن الرحيم كتاب فصلت آياته قرآنا عربيا لقوم يعلمون بشيرا ونذيرا فأعرض أكثرهم إلى آخره. Until the end, about 10 verses, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam recited to him. This man was shocked after he heard those verses. He was just dumbfounded. He went back to Abu Jahl and Umayyah and all of these people, and he says to them, you know what, you rather just become Muslim and rather start following this Muhammad, because I mean, he's coming with stuff which is, you know, mind-boggling. So this really had like an effect on this Utbah. But did he embrace Islam? No, he did not embrace Islam. Jayid. You remember when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to Taif after Khadija passed away, after Abu Talib passed away. Jayid, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to Taif. He thought, since he's not getting any too much of followers in Mecca, maybe try Taif, speak to the tribal leaders there. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went there. What happened there? Was he successful? No, he was beaten up, he was tortured, he was lamented, they ridiculed him, they even had their kids to stone him, etc., etc. When he left Taif, he came to a certain garden. And that garden was owned by this Utbah and his brother Shayba. So this Utbah and the Shayba, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam entered their garden. And they saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And you know, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as we said, Utbah's lineage, listen to it. It goes up to Abd Shams. It goes up to Abd Manaf. Abd Manaf. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's lineage also goes through Abd Manaf. So they are linked up somewhere. So this, you know, at the end of the day, this Muhammad, no matter what, he's from Mecca and he's from my family. So Utbah and the brother Shayba, they sent their servant by the name of Addas. They sent him, you know what, take these grapes, etc., and go and give Muhammad. You know, some sort of mercy they had, some sort of insaniya they had. And so Addas comes there, gives the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam these grapes. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam begins talking to him, etc. They talk about Yunus alayhi salam, etc. Until eventually, walhamdulillah, Addas becomes a Muslim. Subhanallah. So at Taif, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was beaten and tortured. And then at the garden of Utbah and Shayba, some sort of mercy is shown to him. And then Addas becomes a Muslim. Walhamdulillah. Later on, during the battle of Badr, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the one on the red camel, you know, that person at least, you know, he's a man of intelligence. That's a person, if only the rest of them followed him, you know, maybe that would have been good for them. Who was on the red camel? It was this Utbah, Jayid, because he wasn't too accustomed to the fighting. He didn't really want them to go into battle, etc. But the other cronies were with him, and then his Jahiliyyah mentality got the better of him, and he went forward, even before Abu Jahl. He says, we will have a duel, and I'm going forward, and my brother, come along, we'll go forward and we'll have a duel there. You know, at the beginning of the battle, we'll send 2-3 people, we have a duel in the front, you send 2-3 people, we fight in the front. What's the benefit of this? Whichever side wins the duel, then technically they have a psychological advantage, yes or no? Huh? Our 2 guys, our 3 guys won in the duel. That means we got the upper hand. And so, his son by the name of Walid ibn Utbah, and himself, Utbah ibn Rabi'ah, and his brother, Shayba ibn Rabi'ah. Look at them, all family members. One son and the father and the brother. They go forward. Who does the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam send forward? He sends Ali radiallahu ta'ala forward. He sends Hamza radiallahu ta'ala, and he sends Ubaidah ibn Harith, not Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah, Ubaidah ibn Harith. All 3 individuals are from the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ali, Hamza, and this Ubaidah ibn Harith. And on a side note, this is proof against, you know, the idea of the Shia, etc., where their idea is that technically the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came here on earth to set up like a family business, to set up some sort of dynasty. After he dies, then his family member must take over, and then the family member must take over, and then this family member, etc., etc. Whereas we see from the seerah, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would never favor his family. Rather, he would put them in harm's way. He sends them forward in the duel, puts them first when it comes to sacrifice, etc. Jayid. Also, it would have been a sign for non-Muslims to say, well, you know what, your Prophet, he came not for everybody. He came technically to set up a dynasty, you know, to start up something for his family so that they get benefit. Yes or no? Jayid. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent Ali, Hamza, and this Ubaidah. Utbah, he met up with Ubaidah in battle. And Shayba met up with Hamza in battle. And Walid ibn Utbah, he met up with Ali radiallahu ta'ala. So who was the one who killed this Utbah? It was Ubaidah ibn Harith. And also certain narrations that this Ubaidah, he was injured. And then Ali radiallahu ta'ala also helped out. Allahu is, ya mashayikh, that he was killed in this duel fighting against the Muslims. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had previously made dua against this Utbah. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made dua and he said, Allahumma la'an Utbah ibn Rabi'ah, O Allah, curse this Utbah ibn Rabi'ah, wa Shayba ibn Rabi'ah, wa Umayyah ibn Khalaf, because they were the ones who kicked us out of Makkah al-Mukarramah when the Sahaba fell ill in Medina al-Munawwara due to the very swampy region that it was. Allahumma musta'an. So this was the third of those who were given the, lack of better words, glad tidings of the hellfire. Just two more, bi-iznillahi ta'ala, hayyakumullah. Another individual, short biography, Al-As ibn Wa'il. As ibn Wa'il, ibn Hashim al-Sahmi al-Qurashi. This individual, he was from Banu Sahm. Banu Sahm was in charge of all of the money of the idols. So if people came to the idols and they put money there and they put gold there, etc., who's in charge of collecting it, distribution, etc.? The tribe of this As ibn Wa'il. And as some scholars said, his name was Al-As, or As ibn Wa'il. What does Asi mean? Asi means the sinner, Jayid, the one who commits sin. So, as they said, he lived with that name, and he died with that name, and he was the person who lived by his name. Allahumma musta'an. Banu Sahm was also in charge of tahkim. If there was any tribal issues, problems, they would be the judges in these matters. Once, someone from Yemen had sold him something, and he bought something from this Yemeni guy, Jayid, and he didn't pay the guy, the amount of money. So the man came asking for his money. The Yemeni is asking, "Oh, ask, you know, where's my money? He said, "No, I'll give you. And he was messing around with this guy. So this guy went up and he gave a general announcement in front of everyone. "I am coming here from afar. I did business. And you people of Makkah are messing around. And this person here, ask, is not paying me my money, etc." And he mentioned all the various tribes. You know, what are you doing about this? So it was at that time that the tribes got together and they agreed on this pact called Hilf al-Fudul, which is, if any person comes and they're being oppressed in Makkah, then we will help the person who's being oppressed. We will stand up against the oppressor. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this was long before prophethood, he was part and parcel of that. And he said, "I was also there and I participated in this Hilf al-Fudul." And later on in Islam, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "If today I am called to a Hilf of Fudul, if today, for example, the Jews, the Christians come and they say, 'Let us agree on something which is of goodness for all of us,' then I would agree on it too, like we agreed and I participated in the past." Point of proof is, this As ibn Wa'il, he was the reason for that whole Hilf al-Fudul, because he didn't want to pay this individual. As for his son by the name of Hisham ibn al-As, he became a Muslim. Another time, Khabbab, the famous companion who was tortured severely, this Khabbab also, he was owed some money by this As. And this As, it seems, he was a man who never really paid up his debts, etc. So he says to Khabbab, "No problem, I'll give you the money, but you make kufr in Muhammad, then I'll give you whatever is due to you." So Khabbab says, "I will never disbelieve in Muhammad, Jayid." And so they had a small argument in that matter, and there were certain verses revealed against As ibn Wa'il during that conversation. أَفْرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي كَفَرَ بِآيَاتِنَا وَقَالَ لَأُوتَيَنَّ مَالًا وَوَلَدًا جَيِدْ إِلَىٰ آخِرِهِ until the end. Also, Imam Al-Qurtubi says, subhanallah, that you all familiar with, إِنَّا أَعْطَيْنَاكَ الْكَوْثَرِ فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ وَانْحَرْ إِنَّ شَانِئَكَ هُوَ الْأَبْتَرِ. Now, who is the person who slandered the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Who is the one who said, "Oh, you got no kids, you got no male offspring, nobody's going to carry your name, nobody's going to carry your legacy, etc.?" Imam Al-Qurtubi says it was this As ibn Wa'il who is the one who said, "Oh, Muhammad is abtar." And in some narrations he states that this As, he was entering a certain house or the Masjid of Haram or something, and he says, "Oh, what's happening with abtar?" He's speaking to someone else and he says, "What's up with abtar? What's up with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam?" And this scholar, he said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't really hear this, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala obviously hears all things, and Allah sent down the revelation that the abtar, he is the one who is abtar. So technically, this is another miracle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He didn't even know about what this man was saying. The man was talking to someone else, describing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as abtar. Allah heard it, and Allah sent down the revelation that verily you are the one who is abtar. Allahumma musta'an. Jayid. And subhanAllah, we find the name of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam being mentioned 5 times every single day from the Minara across the globe, east, west, south, wherever it might be. As for this As ibn Wa'il, look at this, ya mashayikh. Look at the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the man who called Muhammad Abtar. And what's his name? As. Asi means the one who is a sinner. And Muhammad means what? The most praised one, subhanAllah, Jayid. And he is the one who is Abtar. He is the sinner. And he is slandering Muhammad, the one who is most praised. Fasayakfikahumullah. Allah is sufficient for you, Jayid. As per the other verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send down the revelation that inna kafaynaka almustahzi'in, that you know, don't worry, O Muhammad, that we are enough for you when it comes to these istihza, these people who are making a mockery of you. How did he die? How did As ibn Wa'il die? The story goes, after Allah sent down the revelation that we are enough for you against these people who mock you, he was getting off his horse or the camel, etc. As he was getting off, something bit him. And later on he fell ill, and some narrations state that his legs, you know, became swollen, etc. And then eventually he passed away. And as we said, like his name, he passed away. He was the sinner. Allah musta'an. Last of the biographies, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, is Uqba ibn Abi Mu'it. We already spoke a little bit about him, and we said that he was that criminal who put the filth on the back of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as we will see. This individual, Uqba ibn Abi Mu'it, criminal of the first order, himself and Abu Lahab were neighbors of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we know that Abu Lahab and his wife, they would put the filth in front of the house of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They would throw filth wherever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was walking, etc. And this Uqba was another neighbor, and he would do the same. Until some narrations we have, Allahu musta'an, that he would take feces and throw in front of the door of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ibn Mas'ud used to work for this Uqba ibn Abi Mu'it in the early days, graze his camels, etc., etc., and his sheep. One time, Urwa, one of the tabi'een, he asked Amr bin As radiyallahu ta'ala, tell me of the, you know, like the severest torment that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went through. Give me some examples of that. So Amr bin As, the companion, said, one time Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was praying in front of the Kaaba, and Abu Bakr radiyallahu ta'ala wasn't very far off. And then this criminal by the name of Uqba ibn Abi Mu'id came from behind the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he began strangling the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam until you could see the eyes of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam like almost popping out. And then who came to his defense? Abu Bakr came to his defense. أَتَقْتُلُونَ رَجُلًا أَن يَقُولَ رَبِّيَ اللَّهِ. Do you want to kill a man only because he says Allah is his Rabb? Oh Uqba, you want to kill this man just because he says that Allah is his Rabb? This was one of the examples where Uqba, this criminal, la'een, torturing the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Another time, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is in sujood, and what does he do? He comes and stands at the head of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he begins standing and on the neck of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then the third time, we will discuss when he threw the filth on the back of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But one strange Indian incident, some biographers mention, that this Uqba ibn Abi Mu'it, he was having some sort of gathering feast at his house. So he invited all the main leaders, etc. And he also invited the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Remember, these are the days of Makkah. He invited the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not accept his invitation. And then he came to him and he says, well, I'll become a Muslim, and you know, you accept the invitation. So Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam agreed. And so he said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, etc. He became Muslim. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam attended. When he was there, one of his criminal friends by the name of Ubay ibn Khalaf, another one who was guaranteed the hellfire, Ubay ibn Khalaf, he says, what's happening, Uqba? Did you become a Sabi'i? Did you become a Muslim? What's this? I heard that, you know, you gave Shahada, you became Muslim, etc. So he says, no, I just did it, you know, because of this and that. No, but what is this? How can you do this, etc., etc.? So after the feast was done, what did he do? To prove that he's against the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this la'een, he comes in front of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, slanders him, makes a mockery of him, and he spits on the face of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahu musta'an. Ashaddu an-nasi bala'an, ya mashayikh. Ashaddu an-nasi bala'an. Al-Anbiya, ثم الأمثل فالأمثل. The people who go through the greatest trials and tribulations and torments and tough times are the Anbiya, and then the people who are closest to them and closest to them. Allah musta'an. Jayyid. So this individual, that's what he had done there. He spat on the face of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The other time, he himself, Abu Jahl, Umayyah, etc., all seated at the haram. And they see the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam praying. So one of them says, who will go to the edge of town there? There's this camel which was slaughtered a couple days ago. Imagine the heat of Hijaz. Very, very hot. That camel's intestines, that camel's carcass is probably smelling, Jayid. It's got filth, it's got maggots on it, etc. Who will go there and pick that up? No, they're sitting there having a laugh there. Who will go pick it up and bring it and put it on Muhammad's back? So Uqba says, I'll go. And so they say, Ya Abul Walid, you know, that's a good thing. You go. And so he goes along. And he goes and picks it up. It's smelling, it's stinking, it's got a foul odor. He comes while the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is in sajda. We all learned the story, we all know the story. And then he takes it and he puts it on the back of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And all of his cronies are on the other side falling over one another, laughing at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This was their day. They were enjoying themselves. Allahu musta'an. None came to help the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam except the Jariya Fatima. Fatima, the young girl, she comes and she removes all of this from the back of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, after his salah, he stood up and he said, Allahumma alayka bi Quraysh. Oh Allah, the Quraysh, it's upon you. I leave the Quraysh to you. You take the revenge, etc. upon the Quraysh. And then he made dua. Allahumma alayka bi Abi Jahl. Oh Allah, Abu Jahl, you sought, in brackets basically, you sought out Abu Jahl. Wa Utba ibn Rabi'a. And this Utba who we already spoke about, Jahid, we spoke about Abu Jahl. We spoke about Utba ibn Rabi'a. Wa Shayba ibn Rabi'a. We spoke about Shayba, he was killed there at the Battle of Badr. Walid ibn Uqba. He was also killed. Walid ibn Uqba. Allahu A'lam. Where was he killed? Walid ibn Mughira. And Uqba ibn Abi Mu'it. This individual who threw the intestines on the back of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And lastly, Umayyah ibn Khalaf. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam made dua against these individuals. When he made the dua, they were like shocked. Because they know that number one, they're standing in front of the Kaaba. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is there in the haram, and he is al-Amin, and his dua would be answered as it was later on. Eventually, this Uqba ibn Abi Mu'it and another individual, they went to Medina al-Munawwara because they knew the Jews are there in Medina. We'll ask the Jews some questions. They have a scripture. Maybe they know something about this Muhammad, etc. So they go to the Jews. They say, you know, this man, this is what he's saying, etc., etc. The Jews say, okay, ask him three questions. If he answers these three questions, then, you know, he's a prophet. If he doesn't, then, you know, he is not. What were the three questions about? The first question was about Suratul Kahf, about the story of the individuals in the cave. Second question about Yas'alunaka 'an dhil qarnain, about dhul qarnain, Jayid, towards the end of Suratul Kahf. And the third question, Yas'alunaka 'an ar-ruh, they ask you about the soul. And so they come back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they ask these three questions, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave the answers as per the revelation, but they didn't want to believe. Allahu musta'an. Later on, as we said, when the call was given out to head towards Badr himself, he went to Umayyah and he says, oh Umayyah, come on, let's go, we go out. Umayyah says, no, but you know, Muhammad said I'd be killed, etc., etc., I'm a bit afraid. He says, well, here, take some ether, etc., put some perfume, because you are from amongst the women. And he forced Umayyah to come out. So show us what a criminal and what a la'een this Uqba ibn Abi Mu'it was. What happened at the Battle of Badr? He was captured. Eventually, on their way back to Medina al-Munawwara, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave the order for this individual to be executed, and that's how he met his end. Al-la'in, Allah musta'an. Hayyakum Allah, ya mashayikh. Would that be iznillahi ta'ala? We had taken five of the biographies of some of these criminals. These criminals who lived during the time of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What lessons can we derive out of this? Number one, we can derive the lesson, ya mashayikh, that never ever be complacent. Here were people, example Abu Lahab, etc. Here were people who were linked to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They were people who heard the revelation. They were not people who were dumb. They were not necessarily people who were those not open to understanding the revelation, etc. Rather, they understood. They understood, and maybe that's why they didn't believe. Allahu musta'an. So the point for us, the lesson for us, is not to be complacent. That because my name is Muhammad and because my father has a Saudi Arabian passport, etc., then you know Jannah is guaranteed for me. Absolutely not. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam states, maybe a person is a hand span away from Jannah, and he enters and ends up somewhere else. Maybe a person is a hand span away from Jahannam, and alhamdulillah, he eventually enters into Jannah. Also, we see that these individuals were open enemies to al-Islam, open enemies to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that's why, ya mashayikh, the matter of the tongue, holding on to your tongue, being careful with regards to your tongue, especially when it comes to the ulama, especially when it comes to people who are involved in da'wah, especially when it comes to people who are doing good. And that's why, as it said, either you do good or you be silent. If you're not part of the solution, if you're not part of that which is good, then be quiet. If you can't do anything good, then just be quiet. Why talk about them? Why make an issue? And, make istihza, or make a mockery, or make backbiting, etc., about these individuals, like was done by these criminals. Allahu musta'an. And lastly, ya mashayikh, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that you help the oppressed and you help the oppressor. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was being oppressed in these examples, and these individuals were oppressors. That number one, we stand up against oppression. Number two, we have those who are being oppressed. And number three, even have the oppressor. How? By stopping him from committing this oppression. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us far from amongst being those who are the zalimeen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remove zulm from ourselves, zulm upon ourselves, and zulm on others, oppression upon others. حياكم الله جزاكم الله خيرا هذا وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على عبده ورسوله نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.